Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A CDC advisory panel meeting today and tomorrow to vote on key vaccines for children. Some health experts sounding the alarm and calling on parents to consult with doctors if access to vaccines ended up limited. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more.
After an overhaul by HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the nation's top vaccine advisory panel now weighing critical recommendations on vaccines covering everything from measles to hepatitis B to COVID.
Spirit Airlines announced it's planning to cut capacity by 25% starting in November. It comes less than a month after the bargain airline filed for bankruptcy protection for a second time. Spirit's CEO also says layoffs are on the table. Word today, three-time Cy Young Award winner and Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw will retire after the season. Stock indexes ended higher today on positive economic data. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. With hunting seasons opening across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to properly identify their target before shooting. According to a press release, elk are in their breeding season and are more likely to venture beyond the boundaries of the state's two elk ranges during this time of year. Hunters should remember that adult elk are about a foot and a half larger than deer and have large sweeping antlers. Hunters can also report elk sightings outside their management zones on the DNR's website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking input from residents on its updated Wisconsin Wildlife Action Plan for the next 10 years. The Wildlife Action Plan is meant to help the agency, its partners, and other conservation groups track native plants, animals, and the state of their habitats to inform future policy decisions. The plan was last updated in 2015, and the updated plan will run from 2025 to 2035. Residents can find more information on the updated plan and submit their comments on the DNR's website. The Barron County Board of Supervisors heard a report on the quality of well water in the county at their meeting on Monday. A study of the well water showed about 10% of the over 700 samples taken had high levels of nitrates and manganese, higher than the statewide average of a little over 7%. Areas to the east of Rice Lake, Cameron, and Chetek had the highest levels of nitrates in the well water supply. County officials have recommended residents with nitrates in their water supply try installing a water treatment system. Washburn County residents having issues with controlling buckthorn on their properties are being invited to a free workshop this week. The workshop will be held on Friday at Spooner City Park from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Residents who attend will have the opportunity to learn about some best management practices for buckthorn removal from local professionals. They could also receive a free buckthorn treatment starter kit if they register for the workshop early. Registration can be completed on the Washburn County website. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Magic number is 6. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers one step closer to locking up the Central Division with a 9-2 win over the Angels at AmFam Field. They go for the sweep today. Blake Perkins with great play in center field and 5 runs batted in. Perkins on what it meant for him after the game.
I mean, definitely like confidence boost, you know, being able to come through for the guys, that's always big. I mean, all these guys support me every day. It's good to have some results like go my way.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers and Maryland Terrapins this Saturday at 11 a.m. Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. The Packers, were their first road trip, face a tough Browns defense in Cleveland. Right tackle Zach Tom was out last week after suffering a bruised hip and thigh.
It's kind of hard to run. That's like the main thing. I feel like moving side to side, I'm good. But like anything that involves me trying to like get out and open up, then I can kind of feel it a little bit. But yeah, we just got to work through it.
That's Packers offensive tackle Zach Tom with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the low 60s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. Currently it's 79.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
Bengals.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten opener against the Maryland Terrapins. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans.
When we moved here, I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence.
Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for Lieutenant Governor.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. And happy Friday Eve. I wanted to share with you all, I love it when we scoop some of the other news outlets here in the state of Wisconsin. I find that to be good gosh darn fun. And we did that yesterday. We started talking about the issue, I believe, on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we had on Senator Chris Dassler-Alfheim from Appleton, and we talked about the fact that health insurance carriers here in the state of Wisconsin are abandoning the health care exchange under the Affordable Care Act because of the cascading impacts of the withdrawal of the subsidies for folks at 131% of the poverty level up to 400%. What's happening is that the people that are remaining in the exchanges are sicker and there's fewer of them. That's the problem. And today, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel indeed broke that story for folks that subscribe to the Journal Sentinel. And here's the important part. Here's what they're saying, that the Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative will exit the ACA marketplace in 11 counties in eastern and central Wisconsin. This is going to result in about 24,000 people switching to other insurance carriers. Again, the issue is always whether or not those other insurance carriers, especially the nonprofits, can basically make the risk math work. So we're very concerned that other nonprofit health insurance carriers may drop out. So continue to watch this space. We'll, of course, keep you up to date here at Civic Media. With that, I want to turn to what is the news that everyone is talking about. Jimmy Kimmel has been canceled, fired, indefinitely suspended, whatever you want to call it. We've got a great expert here to talk with us about it. But let's start with the thing that set off all of this controversy. What was it that Mr. Kimmel said that was so deeply offensive that has led to his show, one of the most popular late night programs in the nation, being ostensibly canceled? Let's take a listen.
He hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Okay, that's what he said. That is why he's canceled. Now, the interesting thing is in the days following Mr. Kimmel's statement during his late show earlier this week, FCC chairman handpicked Project 2025 author Brendan Carr got on a variety of shows, including with Sean Hannity and some other podcasts. He was on another one today. And basically encouraged ABC affiliates, of course, ABC is where Jimmy Kimmel's show was broadcast, encouraged ABC affiliates to refuse to air the Kimmel show, almost endorsing government censorship, as it were. Let's take a listen. Here is Carr. This is, again, FCC Chairman Carr on the Benny Johnson show just, yesterday.
There's actions that we can take on licensed broadcasters. And frankly, I think that it's really sort of past time that a lot of these licensed broadcasters themselves push back on Comcast and Disney and say, listen, we are going to preempt. We are not going to run Kimmel anymore until you straighten this out, because we licensed broadcaster are running the possibility of fines or license revocation from the FCC if we continue to run content that ends up being a pattern of news distortion. So I think, again, Disney needs to see some change here, but the individual licensed stations that are taking their content, it's time for them to step up and say, this, you know, garbage, to the extent that that's what comes down the pipe in the future, isn't something that we think serves the needs of our local communities. But this sort of status quo is obviously not acceptable where we are.
Okay, so here's what you got to understand. First of all, ABC is owned by Disney. So Disney basically owns the Kimmel show. ABC itself does not it does not hold the FCC broadcast licenses. Its affiliates do in your local broadcast areas. So it's really interesting. Chairman Carr here says that they may be looking at FCC license revocations. So ABC is effectively a huge content creator, and they require their affiliates to actually broadcast it. So what Carr is threatening here is because they want to criminalize, I guess, comedy now. You can't poke fun at the president or the party that's in charge of our federal government. If we find that the least bit distasteful, the FCC will what? Start revoking affiliate licenses for, what did he call it again? News distortion. Last time I checked, stand-up comedy was never confused as news. I've never gotten it confused. Now, when you dig a little deeper here, here's where it gets interesting. Who are the big ABC affiliates? Do you think it might be all about money at the end of the day? Here are the big ABC affiliates. Sinclair Broadcasting owns some 36-plus primary and secondary ABC affiliates across the country. You may remember Sinclair. They are a conservative-leaning media company. This is the outfit that wrote the media copy for all of their news anchors in their local markets. You've seen this YouTube video. If you haven't, look it up. It's very amusing. But they write this conservative slanted copy for all of their anchors, and all of the anchors, like robots, repeat it over and over and over again. It's effectively what? News distortion. You know, that thing that Carr said he was really worried about. Okay, so back to the affiliates. Sinclair, 36-plus ABC affiliates. You also have two other big, big media companies that own a ton of ABC affiliates. That's Nexstar and Tegna, okay? Sinclair, Nexstar, and Tegna. Big players in that local TV market. Well, Nexstar is trying to acquire Tegna in a $6.2 billion deal. Massive. Big monopoly concerns, okay? They're going to need FCC approval. You see where this is going? Does this sound like Stephen Colbert and the CBS deal, right? The Paramount acquisition where they canceled Stephen Colbert so that their big old merger could get done, so the billionaires that sit on their boards of directors and the big owners and our oligarchs could make even more money. You know, forget that little thing called the First Amendment. Let's listen to another cut from FCC Chair Brendan Carr. This is yesterday on Fox News with Sean Hannity. Let's take cut 34, if you would please, Jacob.
President Trump ran against immense odds. These legacy media outlets threw everything at him, almost every single hoax imaginable, right? Biden is sharp as attack, burying the Hunter Biden laptop story, the Russia collusion hoax. And most politicians would have just gone along with that narrative or not fought at all. But President Trump punched back. And when he did so, he was standing up for the American people that simply don't trust those outlets anymore. We at the FCC are going to enforce the public interest obligation. If there's broadcasters out there that don't like it, they can turn their license in to the FCC. But that's our job. And again, we're making some progress now.
So it sounds like a threat, doesn't it? And let's remember what Brendan Carr was saying back in February of 2019. He posted this on the platform formerly known as Twitter. Should the government censor speech it doesn't like? Of course not. The FCC does not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of the what? Quote, public interest. He just said the exact opposite yesterday on Mr. Hannity's show. Why has he changed his tune? Because his guy's now in the White House. Comedy is not a crime. Satire, even in the worst taste, is not a crime. It is protected by the First Amendment. We all should be very concerned, because if they'll do it to Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert and effectively extort ABC and CBS, believe you me, they might be coming for your free speech rights next. With that as introduction and some context, I'm really humbled and pleased to join me in the show, Dr. Katie Barzenculver of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's the director of the School of Journalism and Mass Communication. She's the professor, the James E. Burgess Chair in Journalism Ethics, and the director of the Center for Journalism Ethics. Welcome to the program, Katie. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Let's just jump right in. How completely bananas is this situation? And is this simply just all about the money and these massive mega corporations?
So the situation is bananas, but I think the interesting thing for me is that it appears bananas no matter what political persuasion you come from. Mm-hmm. So if you're from the left, this looks like doing this in the interest of conglomeration and more media power. But if you're from the right, this should pretty much stop you in your tracks, that it's the assertion of government power rather than having market forces control this, and it's government meddling with corporate merger over content. That normally, at least in the era I was raised in, conservatives would have had a massive problem with that. So it's a very interesting situation. It's also interesting to me I'll date myself here, but in many decades, since the 1980s of watching, media news, media economics, and particularly broadcast regulation, have never seen an FCC commissioner, much less leader, as nakedly political as we're seeing from Brendan Carr. And in fact, using language like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way, which, sounds like it's from more like an episode of The Sopranos than a statement from the commissioner.
Yeah, it feels like a shakedown. As the saying goes, if it quacks, has web feet and feathers, it's probably a duck. That's what this looks like. We've got just about a minute and a half left. Again, I'm with Dr. Katie Barzenculver from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, an expert on journalistic ethics and the media. What laws beyond the First Amendment protect media companies, the comics that stand up and on our late night programs and tell jokes about politicians, as well as news organizations? What in addition to the First Amendment's out there?
Well, I mean, certainly the FCC is supposed to be neutral. Its charter essentially is that it is not supposed to take sides. I want to be clear here that there's more than the law. There's also what we do here. What we stand up for individually. So Jimmy Kimmel has no First Amendment rights with ABC. ABC has the choice whether to, keep him on the air or not keep him on the air. They're his employer. And I don't particularly love what he had to say. If I watched him regularly as an audience member, I'd exercise my right to not watch him anymore. But separate from the law, we should all be worried when a government official is exerting power over content. We should all stand up for that. For instance, if I was a local advertiser and I advertised on a Nexstar or Tegna Station, I'd be considering pulling that.
We're going to come right back with Dr. Bodson Culver. We're going to continue to discuss the canceling of Kimmel here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
Good fascist puppet show, line up like diamond nose, coward, traitor, liar, foe, grab a tyrant.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You have your
club card. And President...
Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the canceling of Kimmel. Remember when conservatives were really worried about cancel culture? Whoop! I guess that's not a thing anymore. And just so we're all aware, the timeline here is really important, right? And I'm joined by expert Dr. Kathleen Bartson Culver of the University of Wisconsin at Madison. She is a professor of journalistic ethics and expert on the media. She's helping us understand here. So very briefly, I just want to remind everybody the timeline here. The statement that, and I think a lot of us would agree, was in very, very poor taste by Jimmy Kimmel, happened on Monday. By Tuesday, FCC Chair Brandon Carr was on a variety of shows basically threatening the FCC licenses of ABC affiliates, okay? Talking about news distortion and the public interest, and basically called on affiliates to preempt Kimmel. Of course, if your show is getting preempted, the network ABC here is going to lose advertising dollars and advertisers, and in turn, that will hurt their business. Now, in the offing is this massive merger between two huge ABC affiliates. It's this Nexstar and Tegna. So that merger's pending. It also needs FCC approval. So when you put this, and by Wednesday night, Kimmel was canceled. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, the statement. Tuesday, the threats. Wednesday, he's canceled. I don't know about you, but as the good doctor Bartson Culver pointed out, of course, ABC can fire Jimmy Kimmel for any reason as long as his contract says that's a good reason to fire him. But if the government through threats is effectively turning ABC into an arm of the government to censor Mr. Kimmel, then we have a problem. And I wanted to ask you, Katie, am I putting that together right? Because that to me is the lurking question here.
Yes, you're exactly right. So let's just say, so let's use this rather than a criticism of Charlie Kirk. Let's use it as an expression. There was I've only found one case so far, but there was a case in Illinois of a local TV anchor who was suspended and then quit for delivering sort of a eulogy or a memorial to Charlie Kirk. So let's just say you and me. You work for civic media and you deliver that and your bosses are unhappy with you and they fire you. There's no problem. You have no First Amendment. You have no First Amendment protection. And I do it. And Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin of the University of Wisconsin fires me. There's a First Amendment problem because she is an arm of the state of Wisconsin. What we have here is analogous to Governor Tony Evers pressuring the owners of civic media to fire you. That's what's going on here. So it's not the state directly punishing someone, but influencing a private actor to punish someone. And that's every bit as big a problem as them doing it directly, especially when we're talking about these corporate actors with quite literally billions of dollars at stake. In these merger deals. And, you know, you saw their interests play out in the Skydance Paramount merger deal that involved CBS News to the great, great, great worry and chagrin of people working for CBS News. But ultimately, in the end, it was all about the money.
And just to refresh everyone's recollection, first of all, we've got Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, media expert. What happened at CBS was not just the canceling of Colbert, but effectively CBS agreeing to settle a case that every media expert lawyer, every First Amendment litigator that I talked to said that they would absolutely win. They settled that case, agreed to certain terms, which led to the resignation of one of the most revered executive producers in the news business. He worked on 60 Minutes. It was the 60 Minutes program that was sued by Donald Trump. All of that, some would argue, to get the Paramount Skydance merger done. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Keep in mind all of these things that Chairperson Carr is saying. He also wrote the section of Project 2025 about the FCC. It begins on page 845 of Project 2025. We'll put a link to Project 2025 in our show notes from today. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows or on Apple Pods, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Here's what the first couple of sentences written by Brandon Carr said when he wrote Project 2025. The FCC should promote freedom of speech. The FCC is an independent regulatory agency. It sure as heck doesn't seem so now, does it, Katie? I mean, what is even happening?
Right. When we're talking about, you know, folks saying that, you know, we're no longer going to be getting this progressive domination out of New York and Hollywood, this isn't, you know, we're not looking for a level playing field. We're looking to tilt in a particular direction. And that should scare everyone. Again, regardless of your ideology, because I don't know other people's experiences with government, but in my experiences, once it has power, it doesn't tend to give it up. And so administrations change, but the next administration isn't terrifically likely to give back the power that has been wrested away from the people. It's the same way I feel about tariffs. They're going to get addicted to that tax income and we're not getting it back as consumers.
Folks, again, that's Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver. We are going to take some calls on the other side. She's going to stick around for a little bit longer. When we come back, I also want to contrast what has gone on with these two major mergers, the regulatory approval that was needed, the pressure that was exerted by the Trump administration on these private corporations, and the firings of other folks, like some personalities from Fox News. Why is that different? Why is that not at all analogous to what we're seeing happen with the Trump administration's pressure on ABC and CBS? Well, stay right with us. We'll be right back on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Health officials are advising residents to keep an eye out for animals like bats searching for new homes as temperatures begin to drop. As the colder weather sets in and animals like bats search for more protection, their risk of making accidental contact with humans and their pets increases. With an increase in accidental contact, the risk of people and pets contracting rabies from one of those animals also increases. If you do come into contact with a bat, you should try to capture it and submit it to your local health department to test for rabies. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have announced a new round of commercial driver training grant funding. According to a press release, the program aims to support the state's driving workforce with sustainable wages, recruitment, and helping drivers obtain a commercial driver's license. Trainers who are listed on the Federal Training Provider Registry operate in Wisconsin and provide training that meets entry-level requirements could receive a portion of the funding. Applications will be accepted until October 28th. City of Shell Lake officials recently gathered for a groundbreaking ceremony on a renovation project at the Shell Lake Arts Center. The expansion project is meant to allow the Arts Center to provide year-round performances and create gathering areas designed to host more students and community events. A capital fundraising campaign for the project began around 3 years ago, and the project received state grant funding in 2024. City officials say construction work is currently scheduled to wrap up in May of 2026. Ashland area residents are being invited to participate in the local Walk to End Alzheimer's event this weekend. The walk will take place on Saturday at Central Rail Yard Park in Ashland. The goal is to raise awareness about how the incurable disease affects both the individuals and the families who care for them. Donations are not required to attend the event, but the funding raised will go towards Alzheimer's care and research. According to the Alzheimer's Association, there are over 110,000 Wisconsin residents with Alzheimer's. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. A nice assortment of films are opening this week in theaters. Afterburn stars David Bautista and Samuel Jackson. The story takes place after fire destroys Earth's eastern hemisphere and a treasure hunter sets out to find the Mona Lisa, but realizes that he needs to be a hero and save much more than just a painting. I have to say I'm intrigued, but there are no reviews in yet. Two films open wide that involve sports. Him is a horror film produced by Jordan Peele about a young athlete manipulated by an old pro. And The Senior stars Michael Chiklis as a 59-year-old former high school football player who returns to the gridiron to rectify history. It's rated PG and there are only 7 reviews in, but they are all positive so far. Sounds like a feel good. And if none of those titles grab you, you might want to check your local listings as Apollo 13 is being re-released in a limited run. If nothing else I mentioned is to your liking, 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and Tom Hanks as an astronaut might be just what you need. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.5 WLAK.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the low 60s, high tomorrow in the low 70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. Currently it's 79.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the state of free speech in the U.S. Also, what's going on with the Epstein files? Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan joins us in hour number one. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don. You're listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined for a continuing discussion by Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She is a professor of journalism ethics, mass communication, and expert on media. We've been discussing the canceling of Kimmel and the pressure that was placed on ABC via statements by FCC chairperson Brendan Carr, indicating that ABC affiliates should preempt Mr. Kimmel, which would lead to a massive loss of revenue for ABC, as well as the pending merger between other ABC affiliates to the tune of $6.2 billion. All of this eerily similar to what occurred with Stephen Colbert just a few weeks ago. What Mr. Kimmel said, arguably very distasteful. We're going to get to the phones. If you have questions for Dr. Bartson-Culver or myself, comments, 855-752-4842. But in the break, we were talking about why this is different from other situations. And I wanted to start with perhaps one of the most recent, absolutely disgusting statements made by a personality on a national program, and that is what Brian Kilmeade said on Fox News. Now, Mr. Kimmel is a comedian. Comedy is often distasteful. It is subjective. Mr. Kilmeade is a media personality that gives commentary. I would argue a little bit of a different standard might apply, meaning the person that does media commentator should be held to a higher standard, I would say. But let's take a listen to what Mr. Kilmeade said that didn't get him fired, didn't see any outrage from the right, didn't have FCC chairperson Carr threatening Fox affiliate licenses. Take a listen.
They have given billions of dollars to mental health and the homeless population. A lot of them don't want to take the programs. A lot of them don't want to get the help that is necessary. You can't give them a choice. Either you take the resources that we're going to give you, and or you decide that you're going to be locked up in jail. That's the way it has to be now.
Or involuntary lethal injection or something. Just kill them.
Yeah, Brian, why did it have to get to this point?
Right.
Okay, we don't need to listen to the rest. That's Brian Kilmeade suggesting that homeless folks or unhoused people, humans, Americans, should just be killed. Unbelievable. Katie, your reactions to this, and then I want to contrast, you know, the firing of Tucker Carlson or Bill O'Reilly and other big media names that have been let go by their networks. But your reaction to the different treatment between Brian Kilmeade and Mr. Kimmel.
I found the Kilmeade statement absolutely breathtaking. And to be honest, I expected immediate action, immediate discipline. Now, the timing, you know, the assassination of Charlie Kirk did come very fast on the heels, you know, maybe even just within a few hours. And so, you know, I don't know that people really were sort of paying attention to it. I am glad that there was pressure. You know, it did come back into attention. It did not produce the outrage that I think that it deserved. He did offer something approaching an apology on air, which is good. That's better. That's better than just throwing something onto Twitter or X or Twixter, whatever we're going to call it now.
Yep.
But you know, this is a statement about human beings. And, you know, while I think Jimmy Kimmel's statement, I think people are reading it in very different ways, by the way, what Kimmel said. it wasn't advocating the killing of human beings, and it wasn't in any way endorsing. You know, it is not as if Jimmy Kimmel was in his monologue saying, "Hey, fascist, catch." Like, that is not, which is what was written on one of the bullets.
Right.
That is not what we're talking about. An involuntary lethal injection is of another order. And were I at the helm of that news organization, that person would not have a job.
Yeah, I think the difference in reaction, the difference in treatment speaks for itself. And let's just very briefly, and then we want to go to the phones. Chad, Nancy, and Chrissy, we're going to get to you in just one second. Tucker Carlson, by my recollection, was fired after Fox had to nearly pay $1 billion to Dominion Voting Systems, right, over lies spread on Fox's network. And he had, I think, two sexual harassment lawsuits going on. He was a beleaguered host with good ratings, admittedly. But at the time, the Biden-appointed FCC chairperson wasn't threatening Fox's local affiliates or threatening Fox itself. That didn't happen. It's different, isn't it?
No, there was never any government involvement in what was going on with Tucker Carlson. And in fact, so there wasn't a direct line between the Dominion Voting Systems case and Tucker's firing. It was, I think, a culmination of things. But most media watchers would say that it would boil down to Tucker got too big for his britches. Yeah. Within Fox, and that the mistake a media personality can make is getting bigger than the network that he or she is on, and that's the mistake that Tucker made. Another very big personality that was ousted from Fox was Bill O'Reilly. There had been lots of pressure from interest groups to get rid of Bill O'Reilly, but it was ultimately Fox's vulnerability for employee hostile environment litigation. Yes. that was the undoing of his career. So no, never FCC interactions forcing these folks out, and arguably not even response to pressure from interest groups or even just citizens complaining to that work.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Christy from Delafield, say hello to Katie. What is your comment or question this afternoon? Christy, are you there?
Yes, Christy. I think I want to point out that, my reaction to all of the media personalities who are reacting to this is that I feel that everybody's bending over backwards to not be become a target. And quite frankly, I do not think that what Jimmy Kimmel said was distasteful in the least. He didn't make fun of Charlie Kirk or his movement or the killing. He made fun of the way that MAGA is trying to frame this as though it was done by some left wing cabal. And then he went on to make fun of Trump's reaction to it, on the tarmac or wherever it was, where he was asked how he's coping, and he said, "Oh, pretty good. And over here, we're building the ballroom." And he went on to describe that. So it bothers me that we are bending over backwards to not to make sure that we say that what Jimmy Kimmel said was distasteful, when it really wasn't much, it was pretty tame comedy in the overall.
Yeah. Thanks, Christy, so much. I think that the point here, at least for me, and Katie, I want to hear from you as well, is it was an arguable subjective question of tastefulness in comedy. That is not something that is, quote, news distortion or, quote, undermines the public interest. Katie, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's funny because I've been having a lot of discussions with a lot of friends in journalism circles about whether what he said was factually inaccurate. And I keep saying, where was the factual assertion? And I think a lot of it revolves around the implication of whether this alleged assailant was, you know, from the left, from the right, radical, not radical. What was the motivation? And the answer to all of that is we just don't know. So, you know, I think Kimmel was out on a limb in that regard. But I think what Kirsty points out here is such an important point, which is we all need to understand that questions of bias in media are really in the eye of the beholder. Yeah. So we assume that media content is biased, but when people like me and my colleagues do research on it, we can present the exact same message to partisans on the left and the right, and they will read the exact same message as biased against their interests or their beliefs. It's something called the hostile media effect. And it doesn't even have to be about political coverage. It can be about health. It can be about all sorts of things. And so, you know, I think the very important point here to be made here is that a small number of people knew about Kimmel's monologue or heard that until Carr made these accusations. And now tens of millions more people have heard them.
Joke.
So this is, it works against ultimately what Carr, I think, was trying to do. But I heard it the thing that stuck out to me was using it for political gain, because I still receive targeted fundraising messages online from my father, who is now deceased, but donated to conservative causes. And I was struck at how quickly, not even 24 hours had passed after Charlie Kirk's death, that I had received some messages doing fundraising on his death. And that to me did strike me as using his death to score political points. And so I saw the monologue in a completely different way.
Yes.
So we read things coming from our own experiences and perspectives. So Kirsty has an excellent point.
Folks, that's Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of UW-Madison, expert on the media, joining us today. Here was Brendan Carr, FCC chairman, back when he wasn't chairman in 2022, again on X. President Biden is right. Political satire, which is what Jimmy Kimmel was doing. Political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech. It challenges those in power while using humor to draw more people into the discussion. That's why people in influential positions have always targeted for censorship. That was Brendan Carr then. Let's listen to Brendan Carr now. This is from just an hour or so ago, again on Fox News. Take a listen to this.
And so again, we're going back to that era when local TV stations, judging the public interest, get to decide what the American people think. And again, we're constraining the power through those actions of Disney, of Comcast. And I think the American public are going to be much better off. But yeah, I don't think this is the last shoe to drop. This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem. I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Yeah, and he was on another news program or podcast earlier today talking explicitly name-check The View. So that happened as well. Let's see if we can squeeze one more phone call. And Chad from Greenfield, say hello to Dr. Bartson-Culver. What is your question or comment?
Well, I have a question for you, Megan, and I have a couple of comments. I hope I can get them all in because it's easy to get caught off. But anyways, first of all, you keep shielding Kimmel as a comedian. What did he say that was funny in his line? What was the joke? What was the punchline? It was a political statement, what he said. It was not a joke.
It was part of a monologue that is comedic, but I'll grant you that some people think things are funny and some don't. You don't think it's funny.
But what was the joke? Okay, you think it was funny. What was the joke?
The last caller just explained it. I'm not going to debate comedy with you. What were your other points, Chad?
Sure. Okay. Is Roseanne Barr a comedian?
Yes.
Okay. Well, who fired Roseanne Barr? ABC, Disney.
The question, Chad, is whether or not the federal government pressured ABC to fire her. That's
well, you
the
have
difference.
No proof of that. That's alleged. Now, ABC fired Roseanne, and she's a comedian. You use comedian. Yeah.
Sorry, Chad, legit, I will stand by Roseanne Barr's right to say whatever the heck she wants and ABC's right to fire her. What I won't abide is the federal government using effectively extortion through the potential blockage of mergers.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClaryBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome, if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Sorry I ran out of time for my last thought from the great question from our listener, Chad in Greenfield. We're joined this hour by Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of UW-Madison. She's an expert in media and journalistic ethics. Chad made the point, Katie, that he didn't think what Jimmy Kimmel said was funny, and he made the point that Roseanne Barr got basically fired for saying things that some people thought were offensive and asking the question, what's the difference? And you wanted to respond.
Yeah, I agree with Chad that I in general don't find Jimmy Kimmel particularly funny as a comic, and I don't watch him. And that's the market at work. So you see declining ratings for late night TV, and I'm in the camp that that was also at play in the Colbert decision, not just the Skydance deal. It was a very complex situation. Yep. But I want to use that Barr situation as an example of a larger point here and something that we should all be aware of. I really hate the term cancel culture. I think we should be thinking of it instead as consequence culture. So Roseanne Barr put out a really hateful, disgusting, racist tweet. And Disney canceled her show, and that's a consequence. She made a choice to do that, and that's a consequence. They did that because they were going to, they have an obligation to their shareholders. They were going to lose advertisers. There are all sorts of reasons that a company would do that. They made that decision as a private entity. There was no government pressure making them do that. In Kimmel's case, we're talking about the FCC here. So there's a consequence, but there's a government actor involved. And so the larger issue is that we all, regardless of our political ideology, we all should be concerned about the consequences that flow when a government exerts its power over our beliefs and our rights to free expression. So when the chairman of the FCC, whether he is coming from Donald Trump's perspective or Joe Biden's perspective, is trying to control the content of a late night talk show, that should scare me. And it does scare me. And, you know, I don't agree with what Jimmy Kimmel said in this situation. I didn't find it funny, but I'm going to defend his right to say it. And I'm also going to wish that ABC stood up more strongly. And I'm going to say that, no, I absolutely disagree with Chairman Carr that this means that local stations have more voice and are serving the public, because any locality in the United States that's served by Nexstar had no choice whatsoever in this decision. You could have had all the Jimmy Kimmel fans in the world and they had no choice. So the larger issue here is the consequence for all of us when government exerts power over content.
It's called censorship, and that's what our Constitution is supposed to guard against. And if you missed it, Brendan Carr in 2019 and 2022 defending the idea that speech should not be censored by the government, saying political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech, saying this, quote, the FCC does not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of the public interest. But, oh, today, Brendan Carr says this. Broadcasters have long retained the right to not air national programs that they believe are inconsistent with the public interest, including their local community's values. But here, the pressure on those affiliates is coming from Carr. You heard in the first sound clip we played this afternoon, Brendan Carr potentially threatening the local affiliates' licenses. That is what's happening here. So when it was President Joe Biden, Brendan Carr is all about the FCC should not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of the public interest, and that political satire is an important form of free speech. Now, when it's Donald Trump in the White House, when it's his guy and his team, then he says, yep, broadcasters should pull programs that they believe are inconsistent with the public interest, and also said they might review those licenses and potentially seek revocation of those licenses from those affiliates. That's the problem here. That is what Katie, Dr. Bartson Culver, and I are trying to describe. Last question, Dr. Bartson Culver. How important is a free press? How important is free speech in a functioning democracy?
I don't know how you have a democracy without it. I would amend your statement just a bit.
Sure.
I would say a free and responsible press. Mm. I think too often we think about our rights and we don't think about our responsibilities. And that has caused us to squander trust with the public. I think you heard a bit of that in some of the comments here. But I don't see how you have, how we function as a democracy without a free and responsible press.
We cannot function as a democracy without a free and responsible press. You know, we got rid of the equal time rule a long time ago. We used to read newspapers where the op-ed pages in hard copy had pro and con right next to it. Now, most of us consume news through what I'm going to call a confirmation bias machine. because that's what Facebook is, that's what X is, that's what every social media company does. It feeds you only the things that it knows you want to hear, see, and read. It's up to us to look more broadly, and seek responsible media outlets. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Dr. Bartson Culver, for sticking around for a whole hour. When we come back on the other side, I'll be joined by former Green Beret, retired U.S. Army, and whistleblower Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, talking about potentially war crimes that he personally witnessed in Gaza. Stay tuned, folks. Another great discussion is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities in York County, Pennsylvania say three detectives were killed yesterday, two other officers injured, when a man ambushed them while officers tried to serve a warrant. ABC's Mola Lange says the shooter, identified as Matthew James Ruth, is also dead.
According to authorities, this was not a long relationship that his ex-girlfriend and he had not apparently dated for very long, but they were involved, and that he, according to the ex-girlfriend, had sort of stalked and prowled around the house, and that there were several incidents leading up to the shootout with police that had made her uncomfortable, things that she had wanted to report before, including her pickup truck that had been set on fire.
Several Northeast states creating a public health alliance to promote and protect evidence-based public health. It follows West Coast states' announcement yesterday. They were also forming an alliance to have unified recommendations that may stray from CDC's recommendations. This is ABC News.